If you have your Bibles, you can open them this morning to Matthew chapter 6. Now, I believe that God desires all of us to experience financial health. And we're going to talk about that this morning, which I know isn't always a popular topic at church, right? As a matter of fact, it can be a sore subject for a lot of people. And I think that's because a lot of times when the church talks about money, there's this preconceived notion that the church is struggling, and oh no, the pastor's going to start guilting us into giving more, right? When I said we're talking about finances today, I mean, I wonder how many people of you thought that. But that's not why we're talking about what we're talking about today. Now, I will admit that this past year was a little more challenging for us than previous years. But because of great council members and a desire to seek the Lord in all things financial, the rough end of the year that we had didn't cause us to be unfinancially healthy. And that's a positive thing, right? We had savings, we had money in the bank for such a time as this. And we know that God is our provider. From day one, He has faithfully provided as we continue to seek Him and His will for our church. And so today's message is really about each of us realizing that God wants us as individuals and families to experience financial health in our own lives. And we want you to understand that not only is He the provider for this church, He is the provider for all of our families. And He doesn't want us to be stressed out and worried about finances. He wants us to experience peace and freedom in this specific area of our lives. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Matthew 6, verses 19 through 34. This is what it says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, there's a lot of stuff in these scriptures that talk about financial health and how we can do a better job of having better financial health in our lives. And so I want to look really at the last part of these scriptures and share with you four things that I think we need to do if we want to experience financial health. And so the first one is this. Number one, we need to distinguish between our needs and our wants, right? Because they're not the same, even though at times we think they are. We need to distinguish between our needs and our wants. In verse 25 it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" What is Jesus talking about here in these scriptures? He's talking really about our basic needs, that the necessities of life. You see, this is not what the verse says, okay? The verse does not say, don't worry about your boat, your quad, your motorhome, or 80-inch flat-screen TV. Isn't life more important than recreation and your body more important than high definition? Right? That's not what the scripture says. Now, all those things I just described, those are wants. They are not needs. Now, I'm not saying that these things are bad, okay? I would love to have any of those things. I've always wanted a boat, right? I've always wanted a motorcycle or a quad. I've always wanted a motorhome. Me and my daughter, when we were young, we wanted a motorhome to have so when we drove to San Diego, we could drive to see Stacy's family. We could drive in luxury. And we wish we had a nice big motorhome to do that in, right? So I would love to have any of these things, if I'm being honest with you. But the truth is, most of these things I can't afford in my budget, right? And I know that for me to have those things would put me in debt and cause me to be financially unhealthy. Why? Because I would be living above my means. And I would be putting my family and my life in debt, right? Now the problem is, that's true for a lot of people in our world. Having those things will put them in debt, make them financially unhealthy. But they still do it. And while those things may make us feel happy when we're using them, right? You know, on a boat, oh, I love being out on a boat, right? When someone's allowed me to come on their boat with them. It's a lot of fun, and it may make us happy while we're using them, but the rest of our life is miserable because we're up to our eyeballs in debt, and it's causing stress and problems in our life and in our marriages. You see, it's important that we distinguish between our wants and our needs. And the reality is, we really only have four basic needs and maybe five in today's culture, okay? The four main needs, okay, not wants, the four main needs are food, water, clothing, and shelter. Those are the four main needs. And then because of our culture, I could say that maybe a fifth would be transportation, all right? Something to get us from point A to point B. Now, it doesn't have to be a Ferrari, right? Okay, but just a basic thing, something, and whether that's bus passes, whether that's a bike, whatever, but something to get us from point A to point B. Those five things, I believe, they cover our basic needs. And everything else is really just a want or a desire, right? Now, I'm sure there are some out there that might go, wait a second. There are other needs I have. But if that's you, I would challenge you to go and visit another country. If we visited 90% of the countries in our world, we would see that the people in those countries would give anything to just have those four basic needs. We live in a place where we're so spoiled that we've forgotten what is a need and what is a luxury. And it's those luxuries that if we're not careful, will put us in a debt. Again, it's not wrong. If you can afford those things, it's okay. The problem is when we can't afford them, right? And so we have to be able to distinguish between our needs and our wants if we want to be financially healthy. Second thing, when it comes to financial health, I believe this. We need to understand that God is our provider. Look at what verses 26 through 30 say. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now this scripture here, it's actually part of this Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus is up on probably this grassy hillside somewhere speaking to the people that are there. And I imagine that maybe there were some birds flying over, right? That there was probably some lilies off in the distance. And he's using these things as an illustration for those who were there. He's saying, do you think those birds there flying through the air are stressing and worrying about their next meal? Do you think the lilies over there on the side of the mountain stress about how good they look, right? Do I have the right clothes? Am I right, wearing the right stuff? Am I going to fit in today's world? No, they didn't, because God takes care of them. He takes care of all that. And the reality is, I believe Jesus wants to do the same for us. He values us more than he does those things. He didn't die on a cross for the birds or for the lilies of the field. He died on a cross for you and for me. And he provides for them. And so if he provides for them, he is surely going to provide for each of us. God is our provider, and it's important that we realize this truth. We have to trust in him and trust in his hand upon our lives. The problem is sometimes we try to be our own providers. We try to take things into our own hands. And when we do that, all we do is mess things up. All we do is get in the way because we don't allow God to be our provider. Now again, with that, we have to realize that God will provide for our needs, not our wants. Oftentimes, we get ourselves into trouble when we begin to use his provisions for our wants instead of our needs. Now, that doesn't mean God can't bless us and we have the ability to get some of those other things. But sometimes when he gives us money, instead of using it for the rent, instead of using it to buy food, right? We use it to buy the toys. We use it to buy things that maybe aren't a necessity. And we quickly find ourselves in an unhealthy place financially, and we wonder, well, why isn't God providing? Why isn't he taking care of my basic needs? We need to understand that God is our provider, but we have to be a good steward of his provisions, right? Because when we're bad stewards of what he gives us, we find ourselves in debt and without the basic needs. We need to understand that God is our provider. And then the next thing that we need to experience financial health is this. Number three, we need to stop conforming to our culture. The beginning of verse 32 says, for the pagan runs after all these things. You see, just because this is how our culture lives doesn't mean it's how we should live. Just because the government continues to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper in debt doesn't mean that we should be going deeper and deeper in debt. We have to come to the realization that our culture is pretty messed up when it comes to money. We live in a culture that says it's all about keeping up with the Joneses. And if you're under 40, you might not get that reference. But keeping up with the Joneses, right? But Jesus is saying, we're not the Joneses. We don't find joy and happiness in stuff. True joy and happiness comes from Jesus Christ and the security we find in knowing that He is our provider. He is the one that will take care of us. He's the one that loves us and wants the best for our lives. Our culture does not love us, right? They love our money, and they love what they can get from us. And when we run out of money, they'll abandon us on the side of the road, leaving us wondering what in the world just happened. Right? Bugle Boy Jeans had a commercial in the late 80s. It's a perfect illustration of our world and the culture we live in. Some of you may remember this commercial. But as it begins, you see this camera pan in on this desert road. And there's this handsome young man standing there on the side of the road in his white t-shirt and in his jeans. Then you see this sleek black sports car come driving down the road, pass right by him. Then you hear a squeal of the tires as the sports car slams on its brakes, throws it into reverse, and comes back to this young man. The window then slowly rolls down, and as the young man looks down into the car, he sees this beautiful young woman, model-like woman. She then leans towards him and says, "Excuse me, are those Bugle Boy jeans you're wearing?" He responds by saying, "Why, yes, they are Bugle Boy jeans." Right? She then says, "Thank you," why I don't know, rolls up the window and quickly drives off, leaving him standing on the side of the road as the title Bugle Boy then comes across the screen. Now, I honestly don't know what the thought was behind the making of that commercial. I don't know really what they were trying to say. But in reality, that commercial describes our culture to a T. They tell us to buy their clothes, buy their latest stuff, spend money on all these things because it will bring joy and happiness to you. But instead of the joy and happiness, we get left on the side of the road with an empty bank account wondering what in the world just happened. Perfect illustration of our society and our world. We need to stop conforming to the culture we live in. If we want to truly experience financial health in our lives, we have to stop trying to live and spend our money like the world does. And then finally, the fourth thing we see here, if we want financial health, is this. We need to seek God's will first for our lives. Verse 33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We have to seek first God's will for our lives. And that means every area of our lives, even our finances, even our money. We have to ask ourselves, are we truly seeking God's will and desire for our financial lives? Or are we seeking our will and our desires? Are we being good stewards of what He gives us? And are we giving Him control of our finances, or have we taken complete control of them? One of the things that I think is important for us to understand about our money is that it's all His. It was all His to begin with. Anything we have because God has given it to us or has allowed us to have it, right? Now, some might say, "Well, hey, I work hard for my money." But here's the question. Who ultimately gave you your job? Who opened up the door for you to have that job? Who gave you the gifts that made you have the ability to do that job? God did, right? He's the creator of all things. He has given us the gifts. He has allowed these things. It's God. And the sooner we realize this, the sooner we'll find ourselves on the road of experiencing financial health in our lives. When was the last time we asked God how we should spend our money? When was the last time we prayed about a budget and actually gave our finances to the Lord? Lord, have your way. Where do you want me to spend? What do I need to budget? What should I keep spending money on? What should I get rid of? When was the last time we gave our money to help others, to be a blessing to those around us? When was the last time we said, God, I feel this need, whether it was something at the church or whether it was a person or many of the things that happen in our community. Lord, what do you want me to give? How can I help in these areas? I can tell you from experience, this is one of the keys to experiencing financial health in our lives. Some of us this morning, I'm sure, have been struggling in this area of our life. I know many people are. And it's because we've done the opposite of what we talked about. We failed to distinguish between needs and wants. We failed to trust God to be our provider. We failed to look past the lies of our culture. We failed to seek God's will for our life first. Failing to do these things brings us into a place that makes us unhealthy financially. Brings us to a place of discouragement. But I want us to be encouraged this morning by the fact that there is hope in Jesus. Jesus wants us to experience financial health in our lives, and it starts with being willing to do whatever He asks us to do. Even if that means giving up some of our luxuries. If we're going in debt, maybe we need to sell the boat, right? You see, if we want to get on this journey of experiencing financial health in our lives, it may mean being willing to give up some of our wants and our desires to get there. Because it's all about seeking God's will and God's desire for our lives. And as He says in verse 33, if we seek Him first, all other things will be added. He will provide for our needs and then some. I believe God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us financially, but it starts with being good stewards of what He's given us. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before You, and Lord, I thank You for this word. And Lord, I know this is a topic that it's hard to speak on at times as a pastor. But Lord, You speak about money more than almost anything in the New Testament. Money is the root of all evil. It can lead us down paths that pull us away from You. And so it's important that we learn to be financially healthy, that we learn to trust in You when it comes to money, Lord. And so we thank You for Your Scripture. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the fact, Lord, that You desire to take care of us. You desire to bless us, Lord. You want us to have blessings and to experience some of the fun things, Lord, not just the needs. But it starts with us being good stewards of what You've given us, learning how to distinguish between needs and wants and being responsible with what You have given us. And so, Lord, we give You this message. We give You this word today. Wherever we're at, Lord, speak to us where we're at. If we're struggling financially, Lord, help us to start to seek You, to give things to You, to allow You to guide us and direct us so we can get to that place where we are experiencing financial health. I know that's Your desire. For us as a church, that's Your desire for us as individuals, Lord. And so we want to give You this word. We want to give You this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.